Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go fishing with Trish, shall we? Trish!
Well, when all else fails and you've set up a tent and you've got a big sign that says live radio and no one shows up, you walk across the street to Arby's.
Did you really do that?
Yeah, I really did. We set up a huge tent and a table, and we've got video cameras and a huge sign that says be on live radio.
And you can't get a soul.
And no one.
It's because it's a warning. That's what you've got up there.
Hey, you know, this could be an open air tip, though. Right? I went out to try to do open air by using that. Hey, come and be on the radio. Hey, come and be on. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
That trick doesn't work at all.
Mm-hmm.
So don't use that one if you're thinking about going to do open air. Did you find somebody at Arby's?
I did. And I think the next thing I'm going to try is actually bringing guitars out onto the street and singing. I think that might draw a crowd, maybe. You know, Ray, you talk about that in one of your books. I think it's maybe Spurgeon Gold or something when you comment. You say, you know, I would sing if I could to draw a crowd, so do whatever you can to draw a crowd.
Right.
But at the Ray, wasn't it very common for open-air preachers to not just go out and start preaching, but they would put together a little choir or a chorale, and they would have them sing. People would gather around to hear the singing, then they'd get the preaching.
Yeah, well, the Salvation Army did that when I was a kid. It was all, you hear the Salvation Army on a street corner, you go and listen to them, and then someone steps forward and gives a gospel message or a testimony. Then they step back, and another, we should do it with bagpipes.
We want to preach to people, Ray. All right, so who have you got?
Okay, so I'm at Arby's, have a young worker. He's 16. His name's Troy. He's lived in the Bible Belt here in Texas his whole life, but it does not go to church, maybe only on Christmas, and is open to pretty much all things, wasn't raised in any certain religion.
Boy, that's more and more common, isn't it? All right, Ray, take over. Ray,
okay, Troy.
Hello?
Troy, thanks for joining us on the radio. Very grateful for you giving us your time. So you're in the Bible Belt and you don't go to church?
No, I don't. I've been raised where if I want to go to church, I can, but it's up to me if I want to go or not.
And did you start going when you were younger and grew out of it?
I don't really remember that much if I ever went to church. The only times I remember going to church was on, like, Christmas or Easter.
So have you formulated any beliefs about life?
I just think you just live and don't really care about anything else, just live your life.
Do you know why you're alive? And what's the purpose for man's existence? Where did you come from? Where are you going to? Do you ever think about things like that?
Sometimes, and I'm just by myself, and I'm just, like, in a thinking mood, but
I just really
don't think about that type of stuff, really, too often.
It's healthy to think about it because it makes you realize how lost you are. So do you think we came from apes?
Yeah, sometimes.
What do you think happens after people die? Do you ever have any thoughts about that? Have you ever lost a loved one?
Yeah, I lost both my grandpas in about the same month.
And were they Christians?
So, yeah, they were.
Oh, well, that's sweet. If they're Christians, it's nothing serious when someone dies. But if you're not a Christian, it's real serious when you die. So what's going to happen to you, Troy? Do you ever think about that? Imagine if you had insight into your future and you knew exactly the day you were going to die. Would that change how you live?
Yeah, it really would.
Well, how would it change it? Would you try and clean up your life because you think, oh boy, I might be going to face God? Or would you just throw yourself more into things you know are wrong because you haven't got, you know, long to live? How would it change your life if you knew the exact date you were going to die?
I'd probably clean up my act and do everything right and not try to do anything wrong and mess up at all, and try to live my life as perfect as possible.
Now, why would you do that?
Because if I do go to heaven, I'd want to be in the best way possible going.
Boy, that's good.
And not have any bad mark.
I really appreciate your honesty there. So it's even more serious because you don't have the date that you're going to make your exit.
Yeah.
You know, it could be tonight in your sleep. It could be driving home in your car. It could be someone coming. You work for Arby's?
Yes, I do.
A couple of guys come in with a gun and just rub the till and shoot you on the way out. You just don't know. It happens all the time nowadays. So yeah. It's even more urgent that you do something to get right with God. So tell me, what do you think you have to do to get right with God? Let's say you wanted to clean up your life from today on. What would you think you'd have to do?
Probably just because whenever I get in trouble or I get caught doing something wrong, I fib about it. I probably need to quit doing that, you know, doing stuff to get in trouble. So I'd probably just be like the perfect child and not do anything wrong and listen to my parents and try to stay out of trouble as much as possible.
Boy, that's good. So you know right from wrong, so you've got a conscience.
Yeah.
But imagine this. Imagine if God is looking at you and he's seen all the things you've done wrong. Do you think just cleaning up your life is going to fix your past sins? Will that wash them away?
I don't think it will.
No, it won't.
You're still going to have them.
Yeah, it's like being in a court of law if you've committed a terrible crime, and just because time passes doesn't mean to say the police won't chase you. So how many of the Ten Commandments can you name, Troy?
I am not sure.
Well, if I was going to give you $100 for every commandment you named, how do you think you'd do? I said if.
I'm trying to remember all this. I know the Ten Commandments, so I'm trying to remember them.
Give me one or two. See if you can remember them.
It's hard trying to remember it all.
Shall not kill?
Oh, yeah. Shall not, what was one of them?
Shall not steal?
Shall not commit fidelity?
Adultery? Adultery.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, adultery.
Did you know that Jesus said if you look at a woman with lust, you commit adultery in your heart? Did you know that?
Yes, I did, actually. Just completely forgot time period.
He said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. What about you shall not steal?
Yeah.
Have you ever stolen anything?
Yes, I actually have.
What about you shall not lie? Have you ever lied in your life?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Every single time I lie, I always get caught.
Okay. You shall not use God's name in vain. Have you ever taken God's name and used it in vain?
Yes, I have, unfortunately.
And that's called blasphemy. It's very serious. So listen to this, Troy. By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart, and you have to face God on Judgment Day. So listen very carefully. If he judges you by those Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Would you go to heaven or hell?
Probably hell.
Does that concern you?
Yeah, it does.
Boy, it should. I mean, you think about your life and how precious it is to you and how you love every moment of life, and to think that if death seized upon you today and God gives you justice, and we've only looked at 4 of the Ten Commandments, there's another 6, if he gives you justice, you'd end up in hell. The Bible actually says that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. We don't think there's anything very serious about lying, but God says it's so serious it would damn you for eternity. And same with stealing and lust and hatred. The Bible says if you hate someone, you commit murder. So do you know what God did for us so he wouldn't have to go to hell? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, he sacrificed himself.
Yeah, God became a person. The Bible says God was manifest in the flesh. God became a perfect human being in Jesus of Nazareth. And then Jesus said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to raise it up. He gave his life as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. He allowed himself to be crucified. And then the wrath of God came upon him, and he took the punishment for the sins that you and I have committed. It's an incredible thing that God did for us. And the Bible says not only did he satisfy justice when he did that, but he expressed his love toward you and I, Troy. God loves you so much that he became a person and suffered for your sins and for my sins. And he rose from the dead. The Bible says it was not possible that death could hold him. Now, do you know what you have to do to receive God's forgiveness, to receive his gift of everlasting life? Do you have any idea?
Go to church and not commit or do any wrong in the Ten Commandments.
Yes and no. What you've got to do is repent. That means you turn from all your sins and you say, no more will I lie, no more will I steal or lust. And I know that sounds difficult for a guy because it's so burning within our nature. But God gives you a new nature and he gives you his Holy Spirit to help you overcome those urges to do that which is wrong. It's called repentance. turning from all sin. And the second thing you must do is trust in Jesus Christ. You don't just believe in Jesus, but trust him for your eternal welfare. You give him your life, and you no longer live your life in a way that's pleasing in your sight, but you trust him to be your Savior. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, now Troy, I'm going to ask you a very, very important question. Think for a moment before you answer. If you died right now in your sins, where would you go?
I would go to hell.
What are you going to do about it?
Change my life around.
Okay, now there's two things you have to do. What are those two things?
Go to church and repentance. Yeah.
And trust in Jesus. Now, yeah. when are you going to do that? And the reason I'm pressuring you or pushing you to do this is because we don't know when you're going to die. And if you put it off from today and say, I'll do it tomorrow, tomorrow may never come. The only thing you can guarantee is the breath going into your lungs at the moment. You can't really guarantee another breath. That comes by God's mercy and his grace. So when do you think you're going to get right with God?
Today.
Please do that. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. So make sure you do it today and then pick up a Bible, read it, and obey what you read. Trisha's there. She'll have some literature for you. And be assured, Troy, we'll be praying for you. And thank you for being so open and honest with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
I'm doing this.
Back with more. This is Wretched Radio. Couldn't say it any better than Michael Woolworth from Bible League International.
The world will drill wells and provide food and shelter. Those are very important causes.
Yes.
We smile favorably upon those. But getting God's word to believers half a world away, people you won't meet this side of eternity, that's on us as God's people.
Ain't nothing wrong with digging a well, but it is only the Christian church that can provide living water. Bible League International for decades, delivering Bibles to believers who have made a profession of faith, believers who have studied the basics of the Christian faith, are then given living water in the Word, a Bible, for just $5 per Bible. You could deliver a Bible to a believer overseas through Bible League International. Might it be possible you could send, say, 6 per month? Please call Bible League at 1-800-YES-WORD.
Wretched's Millennial Initiative is on a roll. We want to reach this generation with a new TV show aimed directly at millennials, Road Trip to Truth. John Fabares will be hosting Wretched's next TV series, 26 episodes long, that goes right into the lion's den, secular university campuses. This program will reach millions of millennials with the gospel. Millions. Now, it's only because of your support of Wretched that allows us to do what we do every single day. So if you are already supporting Wretched, we are extremely grateful. Thank you very much. If you are not supporting Wretched, would you consider it? Think about giving a tax-deductible gift to Wretched on a monthly basis. Not only would you help us keep the lights on, but you'd help us reach this lost generation. Visit wretched.org/donate to become a Wretched monthly gospel partner. And join us on our road trip to truth. wretched.org/donate.
When you sponsor a Tomorrow Club for $30 per month in Eastern Europe, you are writing stories like this.
Vova and Maxim, one is 11, another 13, they're brothers. Both of them smoke like crazy, so when they joined Tomorrow Club, they would just make noise and kick other kids around. That winter, the father left the whole family without wood for the furnace, so they could freeze to death, and without food. So the leaders came and actually brought the wood to the family and fixed the things that they were broken in the home. So the boys saw what happened. They got saved, and the change in their attitude and behavior is just immense.
$30 per month, you'll be discipling 30 Eastern European kids in far-flung and very poor villages in Eastern Europe, and so much more. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Know your reformers. John Wycliffe, called the Morning Star of the Reformation, was a professor at Oxford in the 1300s who preached against papal authority in matters of doctrine, politics, and church practice. After his death, his bones were dug up, burned, and spread over the river. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You know, it's so funny. During the break, I'm listening to Trish. She wasn't even paying any attention to me. I can hear in the back. Okay, look, I don't care what your spiritual background is. Will you be on the radio? Just in a complete fluster.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of...
How far is Barcelona?
Not that much. Not that far.
Now she's having to entertain the fish while waiting for us to yammer. All right, let's go straight away, shall we, Ray?
Yes, let's
All
do
right.
it.
Trish!
Hi.
Where are you? What's going on?
Okay, so this is really neat. There's actually a place that advertises, I don't know, one of those screens that are red and they have the flashing lights that go across and they advertise for their business. Well, this place, they have scriptures on their sign. And so, you know, I've seen it. This is one of the first shops. It's a car sales shop, and I saw it right when I moved here. And so I decided I'm just going to go in and find out if someone that owns the business is a Christian. And I walked in, introduced myself. He opened up his whole shop. We have a whole tent set up with a live radio, Beyond Live Radio sign, and a whole bunch of a little crew with us. And so I've got this guy. His name is Manny. He's from Spain, from Madrid, Spain.
Hmm.
And really open to any type of, you know, spiritual belief. Was wasn't raised anything, no certain, you know, type of religion.
So you got Manny there,
and
and he's willing to talk to the Kiwi.
You're live
like
on the radio.
Music.
Hello.
Hello. What's your name? Is it Manny?
Yeah.
Manny, I'm Ray. Thanks for coming on the program.
Hey, no problem.
Hey, tell me what you believe about the afterlife. Do you think there's anything there? What's on the other side?
The afterlife? Well, you know, I don't got any concrete beliefs on the afterlife. It's basically, you know, for me, I just believe in, you know, living life the fullest. And that's it. You know, the afterlife, you know, I haven't thought about much. You know,
Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Is that your life's philosophy?
No. You have to have some moderation and everything in there, but it's basically living your life in there to the fullest and, you know, expect good things. You know, work hard. That's it, yeah.
Hey, Manny, you've got to think about death. You ever think about it?
Well, not much, actually. Not much.
So you don't mind dying. It's just coming along and you'll take it when it comes.
Exactly, yeah, because just remember, it's part of it.
Okay,
you know, it's
what's
part of the full cycle.
What's that? It's coming today in about 2 hours. Okay, where do you think you'll spend eternity?
Where do I think I'll spend eternity?
Yeah, if you're going to die in 2 hours' time.
Yeah.
Where do you think you'd spend eternity?
I couldn't give you an answer on that one because it's like, you know, we don't know what's out there, what's going to be the next step after we die.
Manny? I got to tell you something interesting. You don't know what I believe. I know what you believe. You said we don't know. You have to speak for yourself. You'll have to say I don't know what happens after you die, because as a Christian, I know what happens after someone dies. I've got the greatest authority on this earth to tell me. If you've got the word of a president, you've got something very important. The word of a king, that's something concrete and substantial. I've got the word of God himself tells me there's an afterlife and there's a heaven and there's a hell.
All right, so, you know, you got the word of God, but, you know, don't get me wrong, I don't want to offend anyone, but, you know, that's the thing. Everyone has an ideal because of how they were raised, you know, and you believe in God, I believe there's a higher power that has some control over the universe, our lives, but to give us an exact idea of what comes next, you know, it's difficult to recognize.
Manny?
Yes.
You have to stand before this higher power after you die. Do you think you're going to enter heaven when you stand before God? Do you consider yourself to be a good person?
Actually, yes, I think. Yeah, if I would believe that, you know, not naming, you know, official names, God or devil or related items, but, you know, if there's a higher power, yes.
Okay,
I think
this
should be entered. Yeah.
This higher power has got 10 commandments. I'm going to take you through some of the 10 commandments to see if you're going enter his kingdom. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Have you ever told a lie?
I'm sorry, what?
Have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
Okay, now what do you call someone who tells lies?
Well, that's, in some terms, it could be a liar, a sinner, yes.
Okay, have you ever stolen something?
No.
Okay, have you ever used God's name in vain?
Mm, Sometimes, yes.
Okay, that's called blasphemy. It's a violation of the third of the Ten Commandments. It's taking God's holy name and using it as a cuss word to express disgust. It's very serious in God's sight.
Yes.
Now, Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Well, actually, as a kid, we all do,
Okay, so you've committed adultery in your heart. So
if you can count it as that,
Now, have you ever hated someone other than at this present moment? Well, the Bible says you commit murder in your heart. So listen to this, Manny. When you stand before the higher power on the day of judgment, he will see you as a lying, blasphemous, adulterous murderer at heart, because this higher power has a very high standard. It's one of perfection. God is holy and perfect and righteous. So on the day of judgment, will you be innocent or guilty?
Well, we are going to be guilty.
What about you?
All our sins.
You'll be guilty. So would you therefore go to heaven or hell?
Well, if you actually, according to your, to your beliefs, we're all going to be guilty until we actually repent our sins and actually ask for forgiveness.
Actually, repentance doesn't help you, or asking for forgiveness of sins doesn't help you. And I'll tell you why, Manny. It's a very important point.
Yes.
You're right. We are all guilty of violating those commandments, and we are all headed for hell. But if you go into a civil court and imagine this scenario. If you're guilty of violation of a very serious crime, there's a $500,000 fine, and you say, Judge, I'm guilty, but I'm going to never do that crime again, and I'm really sorry, okay? The judge is going to say, well, you should be sorry, and you shouldn't do it again. Now, are you going to pay this fine or not? This $500,000. Are you going to pay it? If not, you go to jail.
Well, you have to, but remember, you're just mixing the religion and the civilian justice system. You know, they're two different things.
That's right.
And I keep saying religion, it's a different thing according to who's the believer. You know, we might have a person who's a Buddhist, and he might not be the same wavelength as you because of your religious beliefs. It's a big difference. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, you're right. There is a huge difference between civil court and God's court. God's courtroom is far more harsh.
Yes.
If you even speak an idle word, Jesus said you'll give an account thereof on the day of judgment. So just as in a civil court, man's lowly court, you won't get away with your crime just because you're sorry and you won't do it again. How much more when you stand before a holy God? If you say, God, I'm sorry for sinning, I won't do it again, of course you should be sorry, and of course you shouldn't do it again, so repentance won't help you. Manny, God sent his son. 2,000 years ago, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and die on the cross for the sin of the world. God has made provision for you to be forgiven.
Yes.
You know, you understand why Christ died?
Well, yeah, I know, but I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
So, in your belief, you know, what would be the acceptance, you know, from God, you know, so He can actually forgive you about your sins?
Can He
actually, you know, because it's a little bit contradictory. Because, all right, according to the writings, if you accept your sins and then ask for forgiveness, you will, because everyone's a sinner. But according to your saying. You know, you're saying that, you know, no one is going to be forgiven because they actually failed in the Ten Commandments. So I'm a little lost on your
analogy. Okay,
that's a
very good question. So let's go back to that courtroom. Remember, there's a $500,000 fine. Being sorry and saying I won't do it again is not enough. Now, if the judge comes down and pays the fine himself, he writes out a check in good hard-earned money for $500,000. He pays the bailiff. The court is satisfied. The judge says, I've just paid your fine. You can go. Your case is dismissed. The law is satisfied. Justice has been done. Now, God paid our fine for us 2,000 years ago. He became a human being in Jesus Christ, a perfect sinless man, and paid our fine in his life's blood by suffering and dying on the cross 2,000 years ago. His suffering death satisfied the laws of eternal justice. And then he rose from the dead and defeated death. And now God can forgive your sins. He can dismiss your case, not because you're sorry, not because you won't do it again, but because Christ paid your fine fully in his life's blood. And that's the only basis God can forgive you. Repentance, yes, but faith in Jesus is the way you have your sins forgiven. That's how God can grant you everlasting life. That's the gospel, and that's the good news, that death has been destroyed by God 2,000 years ago, but to receive the gift of everlasting life, you must repent and trust in the Savior. When you do that, you'll be born again, Manny, and God will give you a new heart with new desires. You'll pass out of death into life. Well, where would you go if you died right now in your sins?
You are actually, right now, what you're doing, you are telling me that the places that I may go if I die. But personally, you know, I can't actually answer you that question because it hasn't happened.
Manny, the law of gravity is a reality whether I believe in it or not, and the law of sin and death applies to those who believe in it and those that don't believe in it. So what you believe and what I believe doesn't matter. Truth is what matters. And the truth is if you die in your sins and God gives you justice, it's a fearful thing. So think seriously about what we talked today, okay?
All right, no problem.
Thanks, Manny.
Bye.
More witnessing next on Wretched Radio.
SOS Ministries wants to see a movement take place within God's church in Uganda. They want to see God-fearing, Christ-proclaiming churches rise up across the country and impact the whole of the Ugandan society. To reach out nationwide, they have the Ministry of Church Strengthening and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. But without the consistent support of God's people, none of this is possible. If you can help support SOS Ministries, go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
This is Wretched Radio. I'm Tony Verkennis. Heading into the 2020 elections, Planned Parenthood upping the stakes, saying they'll donate $45 million to pro-abortion candidates. The abortion giant has organized its largest electoral effort yet to answer a growing wave of state laws, court battles, and federal crackdowns that promise greater protection for unborn babies and vulnerable mothers. Most notably, the Supreme Court's decision to hear a Louisiana case addressing whether abortionists must have admitting rights at local hospitals. There are those who believe this could be the first step toward overturning Roe v. Wade. According to Kelly Robinson, executive director of the Planned Parenthood Action Fund, she talked to NPR and said the stakes are higher than ever, and Planned Parenthood's coordinated level of attack targets 5 million voters, aiming to unseat President Trump, help Democrats take over the U.S. Senate, maintain control in the House, and promote pro-abortion candidates in swing states. Planned Parenthood will be spending $15 million more in 2020 than in either of the 2016 or 2018 elections, and $4 million more than the pro-life group, the Susan B. Anthony List. Abby Johnson, former Planned Parenthood facility manager, who's now a pro-life advocate, says, "We see where their priorities lie. If it's really about women's health, they'd be taking this $45 million and putting it back into their clinics instead of using it for political action," one would think. A Bible class taught for decades in Mercer County, West Virginia public schools has little hope for revival after the U.S. Supreme Court declined to hear the case. Until May of 2017, 19 public elementary, intermediate, and middle schools in the county taught an optional class about the Bible. But trouble began in March of 2017 when a parent, Elizabeth Deal, filed a lawsuit against the class with the help of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. There's a shock. Deal, who says she's agnostic, said other students harassed and excluded her daughter Jessica when she didn't attend the class. U.S. District Court in Bluefield dismissed the lawsuit. On appeal, the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals overruled the dismissal, noting Jessica Deal's feelings of marginalization and exclusion. It also said school officials had not made it absolutely clear that the suspended version of the Bible classes program would not return. The Supreme Court last week let the appellate court's ruling stand. And 'tis the season. Christmas will be returning to West Virginia's capital city just days after renaming the Charleston Christmas Parade the Charleston Winter Parade. Mayor Amy Goodwin restored the original title last week. Goodwin said she supported the name change as a way to foster inclusivity. Things changed when the state Senate president, churches, and residents criticized the decision, according to the Charleston Gazette-Mail. Mitch Carmichael, the state Senate president, praised the reversal, saying people of all faiths, Christian, Judaism, Islam, and all other faiths should never feel as though government's prohibiting their ability to worship and celebrate their religion. That's what inclusion looks like. Amen. For Wretched Radio straight ahead, I'm Tony Verkennis.
Books of the Bible.
The book of Ruth tells of a Moabite widow who chose to follow the God of Israel and found favor in the eyes of a godly man named Boaz, who claimed her family's land as her kinsman redeemer. Ruth and Boaz are the ancestors of Jesus and a foreshadowing of Jesus' work as our kinsman redeemer. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Trish is... Well, let's be surprised together, shall we? Trish!
Somewhere that's exciting.
I'm sure you're in Texas, right?
I am. And
so did you find somebody we could chat to?
I did. Now here's the catch. It's windy. I'm walking over to them. It's a brother, two brothers, and a UPS guy is driving by me right now. Wow, everything just happened. Okay. I'm moving on up. Young brother, his name is Caesar. He works for a company called Seamless Gutters, and they do gutters on houses. And here's the thing, though, is that Caesar said that he was a Christian and that he'd go to heaven. Didn't seem real sure about it if you were to die. But the interesting thing is he said, I need to call my boss to see if I can even do this. And then 5 minutes into the conversation, I go, don't you need to call your boss? He goes, oh, no, I'm the boss. And him and his brother just started laughing. I go, so you're telling me you lied to me, Caesar? And they busted up. And so, yes, he did lie, and he's free to be on the radio because he owns the company.
When you own a place, you can talk on the radio anytime you want to.
That's right, because you get free advertisement.
Yeah, well, we'll give him a plug. Why not? All right.
Okay, you're talking to Caesar, Todd.
All right.
Passing you on.
All righty. Well, Caesar, how do you do, sir?
Pretty good.
It's good to be the boss, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. How many employees do you have?
Two at the moment.
Two. Have you ever had an employee, Caesar, who doesn't do what you tell them to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. And how do you react to that?
I just talk to them.
Yeah. What if the employee lied persistently?
If he lied?
Yeah.
He wouldn't be my employee.
Yeah, you'd fire him.
Yeah.
Yeah, the old pink slipperoo. Okay, how's about if he stole from you?
Oh, I wouldn't tolerate that.
All right. What if he went around town saying bad things about you all the time and did nothing but just diss you constantly?
I wouldn't talk to him.
Yeah. Pretty annoying.
I have nothing to do with him anymore.
Yeah. So, Caesar, I understand you are a Christian. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So, let me ask you, you think that you're going to go to heaven when you die, correct?
Yes.
Why?
Yes. Well, I believe in Jesus, and I think anybody who believes in him, they're going to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm. So some guy can believe in Jesus and just say, yeah, I believe in Jesus, and they're good to go.
Yes.
Yeah. You're sure about this?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Uh-huh. All right, so here's a guy named Bob. And Bob says he believes in Jesus. And Bob is, he's sleeping around. He's having an affair on his wife every Thursday. And he's embezzling money from the company. He takes the Lord's name in vain. And he's murdered 17 people. But he believes in Jesus.
I believe he changes his life and asks forgiveness. I believe he'll go to heaven.
Caesar, I want you in 30 seconds to tell me why I should become a Christian.
Why you should become a Christian?
No.
Because Jesus is the Savior. You don't have to be a Christian or Catholic. As long as you believe in Jesus, I think you'll go to heaven.
Okay. But, okay, you haven't given me any reason to believe in Jesus, though.
Any reason?
No.
Do you believe he came and died for us? Do you believe that?
I don't know. I guess some guy came here a couple thousand years ago, and I guess he died. Sure, I believe it.
Okay. Well, do you believe that he came for us to save us? Like...
From what?
From our sins.
What sins?
The sin we sin in every day.
Oh, well, maybe you do, but I'm actually a pretty good guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's up to you. It's not up to me if you want to become a Christian.
Right.
I'm not into church that much, but I think I'm a Christian.
All right. How do you become a Christian? Just believe?
I guess. Right. Just believe and going to church.
All right, Caesar, let's dive into this a little bit, okay? Because this is too important. All right?
Okay.
Because if there's an afterlife and if there's a heaven and if there's a hell, let's get this nailed down, all right?
Okay.
When I asked you before if as the boss somebody lied as your employee and they stole from you and just slandered your name, you'd be angry, right?
Yes.
All right. Now imagine this. God's your boss, if you will. Have you ever slandered his name by using his name in vain?
No.
You've never used God's name in a casual kind of way?
No.
Really? Sworn by using the name of Jesus Christ? You've never done that? Never used God's name casually?
No.
All right. Have you ever lied?
Lied? Yeah. Yeah, everybody lies.
All right, but you specifically. So you've done the very thing that you would fire some guy for. Have you ever stolen anything?
No.
Anything?
No, anything.
Downloaded music?
Yeah, I downloaded music, but right. I paid for it.
Yeah. But you know what? If you take something, it doesn't matter the size of the value, candy from a store, a dollar from your parents, taking something that doesn't belong to us, regardless of the object, it's stealing. Have you ever done that?
I probably stole something when I was young.
All right. Speaking of when you were young, did you ever dishonor your parents in any way?
I think everybody does.
I agree. But you've done it, right?
Yes.
All right. That's another one of God's rules. As the boss, when you break the rules, that makes him very angry. Have you ever committed adultery?
No.
All right. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust in your heart?
With what?
With lust, sexual thought.
Maybe, sometime.
Yeah. Well, you're a guy. I'm guessing chances are pretty good you have. Okay.
Thank you.
Because Jesus said, you don't need to commit adultery. You just think about sex with somebody that you're not married to, and you've committed adultery in your heart. If you lust, you're an adulterer at heart.
Yeah.
All right. God's the boss. He's going to judge you someday, and you've broken his rules. Now, you said you'd fire a guy. What should God do with you? You die. He judges you. He knows you've lusted. He knows that you've lied. He knows that you've stolen. He knows that you dishonored your parents. What should he do with you, Caesar?
Well, that's why he came, to forgive us. He died on the cross for us.
All right. You know, hold on to that thought just for a second.
Okay.
The question is, what should God do with you because you've broken his laws? Should he send you to heaven or should he send you to hell?
It's up to him.
It certainly is. But if you've broken the laws, it's pretty obvious to know what he's going to do, right?
Yeah.
Just like the rest of us, he should send you to hell.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, so here's the situation, Caesar. Your boss, your God, your creator is angry because you've broken his laws.
Okay.
And he will give you exactly what you deserve for lusting, for lying, for stealing, for anything that you, any deed done in darkness. He's going to give you what you deserve on the day of judgment. And it will be a horrible, horrible day. Now, with that thought in mind, let's move back to what you said before. But God is also kind, and he demonstrated his kindness by sending his son to die on the cross to take the punishment you deserve. To die, he rose from the dead, defeated death, so that your fine for breaking God's laws could be paid. Are we together on this?
Yeah.
All right. But now here's the important thing, Caesar. If that's true, if you're a lawbreaker, and if God exists and he judges you rightly and sends you to hell, or should send you to hell, and if Jesus Christ is his son and he died on the cross to take the punishment for your sins, an amazingly kind thing to do, you need to respond to that amazing kindness rightly. And it's not just by believing, okay? The Bible says you must repent. You've heard that word, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You need to recognize, okay, you know what? God, you deserve to send me to hell. I've broken your laws. I've lived for myself. I've lied. I've stolen. I've lusted. I've blasphemed your name. And you apologize and you forsake your sins. you suddenly hate your sins. You don't want anything to do, and you stop sinning. You don't want to do those things anymore, and you turn from your sins and the way you're living now, and you put your trust in Jesus Christ. You repent, you turn from the way you're going, and you turn toward Jesus, and you put your trust in him as if your life depended on it, because it does. Repentance and faith. You come to the end of yourself, Caesar. You die to yourself and you say, God, I don't want anything more to do with me. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. Have mercy on me. I put my trust in the Savior. Please save me. And God says when you humble yourself like that, he will forgive all of your sins and grant you everlasting life. So, Caesar, I don't know. Nobody listening right now knows, but you know. Have you done that? Have you repented of your sins and put your trust in Jesus Christ, and he has made you born again?
Yes.
When did that happen?
About 2 years ago.
You're sure?
Changed my life.
And you're living for the Lord?
Yes.
He's precious to you?
Yes.
You're reading the Bible every day?
Yes.
All right, dude. You know and God knows. That's the good news of the gospel, and repentance and faith is the response. Hopefully you've done that. All right, dude? I thank you very much for talking to me.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for joining us today and listening to Wretched Radio. If you are looking to know more about true and false conversions, look no further than the Wretched Store and our booklet, Are You a Rotten Fish? Now, if you are one of those wondering why would I need such a booklet, well, just take a look at church backslider rates. Makes it pretty clear why Jesus taught about it often. You know, the parables of wheat and tares, wise and foolish virgins, good fish and rotten fish. To get your copy, go to wretched.org/fish. Wretched.org/fish. Are You a Rotten Fish will compare and contrast the true gospel versus false gospels and the true response to the gospels versus things you may have heard like making a decision for Jesus, trying Jesus, or asking Jesus into your heart. Go to wretched.org/fish for your copy of Are You a Rotten Fish? Wretched.org/fish. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Forget the power of cheese. The power of the ultrasound.
Darlene came to our clinic. She's accompanied by her boyfriend. She just came from Planned Parenthood, but they were unable to provide an ultrasound because they charge for them, and she probably didn't have the money. When she's in the counseling room, apart from her boyfriend, she says that the relationship with the baby's father was probably going to end anyway. So she wanted to abort. I presented the gospel. She politely declined the gospel. We gave her an ultrasound, and she walked out the door still abortion-minded with the ultrasound picture in hand. We made another call for her a couple days later, and she said, you know, I can't come in, but do you know where I can get some prenatal vitamins? And she had chose life.
One ultrasound, $28. $28, one life. How many ultrasounds could you provide through preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
60 to 80% of our youth are leaving the nest, flying off to university, and abandoning their faith. Wretched wants to reach these kids with the gospel by distributing 1 million copies of our evangelistic resource, What Time is Purple, on university campuses around the country. If you are a ministry or a church group, we'd love to send you a whole bunch of copies. Just contact Al Yerkes, al@wretched.org, for more information. If you want to give out What Time is Purple on your own, visit wretched.org/purple for free copies. You know, it's only with your support of Wretched that we can do things like this. If you're already supporting Wretched, thank you very much. Please know we are very grateful. And if you're not, would you consider giving a tax-deductible gift to Wretched on a monthly basis? Go to wretched.org/donate for details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. And to give out copies of our evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple, go to wretched.org/purple, and let's reach millennials together.
Important dates in Christian history. 385 AD. In Milan, Bishop Ambrose defies the Empress. This event helped to establish the precedent of the Church confronting the state when necessary to protect Christian teaching and oppose injustice and corruption in government. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Alrighty, we're going to go to Kiwiland. Well, actually, we're going to Las Vegas, so that we can go to Kiwiland. You, Aaron.
Hey, Todd.
So you're in Las Vegas, is that correct?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. What are you doing there?
Well, my good friend, we grew up together. His name's Ryan, or Royan. And
Does he have a car?
He has a car.
Uh-huh.
And he went to... he's by, like, my best friend. He came down from New Zealand. He's in Vegas, so I drove up to go see him. And the last night, we went to some heavy metal Kill Switch Engage, whatever that is.
Ah.
And they're heavy metal. And everyone's like, Satan. And everyone's like, rah. And I didn't hear one word. I didn't understand a single word anyone was ever saying the entire night. And it was loud.
Except for the Satan part.
Except, well, no one ever said that.
And so we're suspecting that maybe... your Kiwi mates aren't Christians?
Well, if you go to a grocery store and the fruit's not very good, or you could tell by its looks, you know, it's not one to judge, but fruit's not very ripe.
Oh, yes, we are. All right, so what is this fellow's name? Ryan?
Ryan.
And he's from New Zealand, but he's presently in Las Vegas. Is that correct?
Yes.
All righty. Here we go.
Hey, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
Todd?
Mm.
Hey, Todd. How's it going?
Ryan, how are you doing?
Good, man.
Good. Hey, Ryan, last night you went to kind of a heavy metal sort of affair, huh?
Yeah, it was sort of heavy metal slash hardcore sort of gig.
And Aaron, he couldn't really understand a whole lot of the words, but he was saying that there was, like, yelling for Satan or something about the devil. Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't think they're quite yelling for the devil, but there's definitely a lot of emotion in what they're singing.
Yeah, most people don't think that the devil is a real thing. Do you?
A real entity?
Yeah. Bigger word?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Do you think that there's a force of evil in the world?
Yeah, I think there's sort of a bit of a higher power that sort of gets confused in it all, and yeah, maybe.
Do you think the higher power is?
I think it's within people, you know?
No, I don't. Explain that.
Spiritually. I think it's the bad in people that, you know, when they want to get too big in the world and then they start doing stupid things.
Yeah. Do you think that there's anything higher or bigger or stronger or more intelligent than human beings?
Yeah, there's definitely something there. Well, I mean, something obviously created the universe and all that, right?
Good for you. I think so too.
Yeah.
I just can't get past that everything is so designed. How did it get to be this designed without a designer? Exactly. I just can't get past that.
Yeah. No, me neither, man. I mean, we were talking about this the other night.
So then the question becomes, who do you think that intelligent designer is?
Well, a lot of people give him a different name, right? Like, you know, you can call him God or you can call him your Messiah or whatever you want. But I really don't know. For all I know, I mean, it could be an alien, right, that created us all.
Yeah.
But I know there's definitely somewhere. I just haven't given them a name.
Yeah.
I instead of sort of devoting my life to it, I like to sort of understand it better.
So, Ryan, do you think that it is worth your time to try to figure out who it might be just in case that being is either evil or powerful or is going to be judging us?
I definitely want to learn more, but... in the end, I don't sort of want to figure out the equation because I don't think there is an equation at the end of it all, you know? I don't think there's going to be an answer.
Ryan, what do you understand about Christianity?
Well, I was baptized Catholic. Used to go to church regularly. But you know that Jesus is God's son and born of Mary and got killed at the cross and resurrected. And a lot of people believe in him.
Yeah. Do you?
Well, I haven't as such stated that I believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior. But like I was saying before, I'm not totally, you know, atheist or whatever, but I still believe in a higher power. I just haven't given him that name.
So why is Jesus called Savior?
I don't know. I don't know why they call him the Savior.
Yeah, I find that actually to be true of a lot of people. I don't think you're alone in that. It's one of those words that is a title, but people don't understand. All right, let's give this a go. If he is a Savior, it should be wise of us to ask the question, what does he save us from? Fair enough?
Yeah, no, true, definitely.
All right, I've got a radical answer for you, all right?
Okay.
First of all, let's establish this. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son.
Yes.
The Father is God. Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is God.
Yes.
And do you know what I think Jesus saves us from?
What?
The Father.
Really?
Yeah. Pretty radical.
All right. So
yeah.
He saves us from... So then the Father's the evil being?
No, he's the one who's kind of angry, though.
He's sort of mad at the human race for doing all the stupid things that we do, right?
Yeah, actually, I think so.
So he sort of punishes us?
Well, I think that's one of the reasons that he does. But one of the things that I think helps make this all make sense, because there's a movement even inside of Christianity that says hell is not reasonable. God is capricious. He's just kind of unreasonable, sending people to hell. That doesn't seem fair. And what exactly is he so mad about? I think once you understand that God, one of his attributes is justice and that he's righteous, it makes a lot more sense.
Oh, I suppose you'd be pretty mad, too, if you designed a human race and they turned out like us, right?
I mean,
if you generalize the entire world. I mean, I know a lot of beautiful people in my life. I know a lot of cool people across the world. But, yeah, there's a lot of people that really don't know what's going on.
But see, not just the big things, like some sort of genocide in Darfur or what the Nazis did in World War II. I think that he gets mad at a very personal level.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
For instance, Ryan, if you were judged by God by the standard of his laws, let's say 10 of them, specifically the 10 commandments.
Yes.
Do you think that God should be mad at you?
Personally?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. But, well, in a real structured sense, if following them exactly as they say. But overall, I think he'd be pretty happy with me compared to most people. I mean, everybody sins, right?
Yes.
Everybody do things that they're not supposed to according to the Ten Commandments.
Right.
But I think the good things that I do overpower most of that.
All right.
So I think he'd be all right with me.
Let me suggest this to you, Ryan. If I broke laws and I stood before the judge and I said, Judge, I know I'm guilty. I know that I've broken it. It's black and white. I've broken the laws. But last week when I was at the candy store, I bought an extra bag of candy for some of the poor kids that were out in the street. I think you should let me go.
Well, that's different.
Why?
Because I'm not breaking laws, really.
Well, if we're going by the Ten Commandments, let me share one of them with you, all right? You ready for this one?
Yeah.
Have you ever committed adultery?
Adultery?
Yeah.
No. You mean like cheated on my girlfriend sort of thing?
Well, adultery by strict definition is that you have sex outside of marriage.
Okay. Yes, I have.
All right. Now check this out. Jesus said you don't even need to commit the physical act. If you just look at a woman and lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So talk about strict.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, so here's the scenario, Ryan. If God is your judge and you died and God judged you, and even if it was just that one commandment about looking with lust, about committing adultery in your heart, do you think that God would be right in saying, I am mad, you have sinned, you've broken my laws, and that he would have the right to punish you?
No.
You don't think so?
Right.
Why not?
No.
How come?
Well, how long do we have on this world? 80 years, you know, now?
Give
now
or take.
Technology and everything.
Yeah.
If you said that to me, I'd be like, it was worth it, you know? Life was good, and that's what I wanted to live. And if it means that I'm not going to get into eternity, it was still worth it, you know, because...
Okay, so how long is forever? 80 years times...
Well, it's an eternity. It doesn't end.
Yeah, so you'd rather have a little bit of fun for 80 years looking and lusting and doing other things that you enjoy doing... As opposed to spending eternity in heaven with God.
Well, on a certain level, like I said, I'm not going to not do that. I'm not going to not look at a woman and think about her on a sexual level because God's rules are so strict.
Right.
I'm still going to do it. I'm not going to live my life like that.
Okay, so you just don't want to be obedient to what he says he wants you to do.
On the surface level, yes.
But then just going back to the original premise of this conversation... Establishing it, for instance, have you ever taken God's name in vain? Use God's name in a loose kind of way?
Oh, I try not to, but I'm sure I have a couple times.
All right. Did you always honor your parents?
Yeah, pretty much.
So you did everything that they never got angry at you for being a naughty little boy?
Well, they did, definitely. I mean, every kid gets in trouble.
Exactly.
Right,
that's one of the commandments also. Have you ever lied?
Yeah, I've lied.
Ever stolen anything?
Like a dollar out of my mom's purse when I was real young.
Okay, so dude, just this one premise. Let's see if we can agree. So if God judged you, would he be right in being angry with you and sending you to hell?
What? For the little things that I've committed?
Well, you think they're little, but they're his laws, remember?
Okay, for the things that I... Yep, of course.
Okay, so what do you think? Heaven or hell?
Would it be justified? No.
No.
No, because, I mean, as the designer, he...
Hold on, hold the thought 1 second. We'll continue this during the break and see if we can make it reasonable. Let us trust that our buddy Aaron will continue to talk to Ryan and plead with him. It is entirely just, but remember, God demonstrated his love by dying for us when we were yet sinners. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.